Welcome to the Fedora Project Podcast, Episode 4, Jed Smith Talks About the Fedora Documentation Subproject.
Hello, my name is Edward Lucena and welcome back to the Fedora Podcast. We are now doing the Episode 4 and we are here with Jared Smith, former FPL of the Fedora Project and now one of the core contributors in the docs project. Hello, Jared.
Hello, how you doing?
Everything is fine. Right now, we are going to talk about the documentation project of subproject of the Fedora project. We want to talk about documentation because we have a former platform with the documentation. Mm-hmm. So why the old platform? We don't want to use it anymore.
So I've been in the Fedora docs subproject for long enough that we've gone through several different tool chains and several different markup languages. But most of our documentation was traditionally done in the docbook markup language, which was XML, and it was fairly complicated. And then we used a publishing tool called Publican to convert that docbook to HTML or to other formats. And the tool was a little unwieldy. The markup language itself was quite complicated, and it really became a barrier to entry for people that wanted to join the docs project, write some documentation. It was too hard oftentimes to get them to really completely understand DocBook and the way it works, and we spent more time trying to teach the tooling rather than getting people to write. And so over the last year or two, we really tried to focus on changing the formats that we use and the tooling to make it simpler for people to join the project, start contributing, easier markup, you know, with things like ASCII doc and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we are talking about ASCII doc. That's a new toolchain we're going to use with ASCII Doctor and ASCII Binder. How this new toolchain is actually better than the old one?
Sure. So I think the first thing that's better is the choice of a markup language. We're using the ASCII doc markup language, which is very simple, plain ASCII text, very simple rules for how to create a section heading or how to create a footnote or how to create a link to another part in the document or how to add an image so that people can focus more on the writing and less on how do I mark it up to make it look correctly, you know, in the documentation. The other thing we've done is then taken a couple of tools out there, ASCII Doctor, to convert the ASCII document into HTML for a website, and then ASCII Binder to put several documents together and build kind of an index or a sitemap for all the different documents so that we can publish all our documentation out there on the web.
So the main idea behind this is to try to get more contributors working in the documentation. So how is the onboarding process in the current documentation team?
It's pretty good. Really, it's, you know, if you want to come join the documentation team and contribute, it's really announce yourself on the mailing list, say, hey, my name is Jared, I'd like to help write some docs, this is what I'm interested in. Let us know where you might need some help with the tooling, and we can help mentor you and guide you through learning ASCII doc and kind of the Git workflow of putting the docs in our project and that sort of thing. But it's really pretty easy. Show up, say hi in the IRC channel or on the mailing list, and we'll help you from there.
Okay, so the previous version of the docs were meant to be like books, right? So one of the main ideas, is that way, is to get rid of that kind of format. So what kind of docs are we building right now with this new toolchain?
So the idea isn't necessarily to completely get rid of these longer, more formal, you know, book-style documents, but to augment those and maybe even eventually replace those with shorter, more direct, more action-oriented documentation. So, for example, rather than have a guide that serves more as a reference and covers every possible value and every possible incantation and every possible way of doing something, we're more focused on what are people actually trying to accomplish, how do we help them solve those problems or make progress on what they're trying to do with as few steps as possible in a clear, concise, easy-to-read format that doesn't take 20 or 30 pages to explain.
Okay, so the main idea is to have a short how-to to work on it and not to have a proper book that you need to work all the way to find just a little piece of
make shorter topic-based documents that are based on the actions that you're trying to perform rather than reference docs that are you know, very descriptive of all the different possible options and how the program works. Say, hey, if you're trying to accomplish task A, do steps 1, 2, 3, check in step number four to make sure that this completed correctly. In step number five, you're done. That's that sort of thing. Also, you know, focusing more on small topic-based pieces of help that may be embedded in other larger documents as well. So maybe we have a section on, you know, how to format an SD card. Now, you may use that as part of the astronomy SIG, or you may use that as part of, you know, trying to get an image put onto a Raspberry Pi or something like that. There's lots of different places in Fedora that you may want to know how to format an SD card. We could actually take that small little section and say, here's how to format an SD card, and then embed that in other documents as needed.
Okay, so the last week, we have a FAD of documentation. We have a bunch of people that need to work or want to work with documentation. So the two questions are, what is a FAD and what do we accomplish in this particular documentation FAD?
Okay, so a FAD in Fedora stands for a Fedora Activity Day, or oftentimes it's a couple of days or a few days. The idea of a FAD is to get a core group of people together in the same geographical location and focus on trying to affect some sort of change inside Fedora. In this case, we had a documentation FAD. The idea was to get several people together who had either experience with documentation, experience with these tools, or could help flesh out the pieces of the tool chain that needed to be finished, and get them together in the same location and really focus on getting some things done. So what we pointed out for this particular FAD as our goals were to convert a bunch of existing wiki pages that were some of our most popular, you know, searches in the search engines, convert those to these what we call quick docs, these small documents that are action-oriented, both to help people learn how to write in ASCII doc and get that formatting understood, but also to help flesh out our tool chain. So our tools like ASCII Binder that builds our site for us, we have some existing challenges with that, and we're trying to add some additional functionality around that. And so having a set of documents that we could use to kind of test that and continue to drive that development was helpful.
So how many contributors went to this FAD?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I think we had 12, maybe 11 or 12 contributors there at this documentation FAD. It was a little longer than some other FADs. I think it was 5 days long. And it was really a great opportunity to sit down and both write documents, help other people learn how to navigate the tool chain, navigate the Git workflow, navigate the different pieces of the tooling, but also just make the tooling better and get some real concrete documentation written out of it.
We have actually published documents from this FAD, or will be published in some time.
So we have some of the documents that were written and converted during this FAD published in what we call our staging server. We're still trying to fix up a couple of things in a couple of scripts to do actual publication on the live doc site. I'm guessing probably by the time this episode airs that they may have already been published. If not, they'll be coming very soon. So that's very exciting to see. At the same time, what you probably won't see just by going to the doc site is some of the underlying tooling that was improved. One of the things that I have to call out because it's so exciting for me is that we were able to work with some of the folks that have traditionally worked on the CentOS side of things inside of Red Hat on their CI tooling, on their continuous integration, and we were able to tie that into Fedora docs. So now anytime anybody pushes a new commit into one of these documents, the Git repo for one of these documents, or if they submit a pull request to one of these documents to fix something up or add some additional information, the CI system will automatically grab that, build a new version of the docs in a temporary website where people can go look and review that much, much easier than just looking at the ASCII doc source code. So that was another exciting thing that came out of the docs FAD.
So basically we have the new platform is divided in the public part of the doc and the staging part of the docs.
Right.
So if I come to the project like a new contributor to work in docs, my documents are going to be in the doc, in the staging part. Mm-hmm. So I can actually see
You can my actually document. See them, test them, make sure the links work, make sure they are styled correctly. And then once they look great, then we can publish those and push those live to the live documentation site.
So. Okay, a problem that I had before with the former documentation system, and I think for me, being from LATAM, from being from a non-English spoken country, is that it's hard to translate those the former documents to Spanish, basically because the platform was intended to be a flash book that don't be intended to just translate a section or translate just one part of the document.
Right.
How this new platform can help us to fix that part?
Well, I think the first thing is that we're probably writing less prose and more focused documentation. So there's going to be less words to translate, but they're going to be more direct and be more applicable to what the person is actually needing to do or trying to accomplish. I think that's the first piece. The second piece is we're worried less about an overall structure of chapters and sections and that sort of thing, and really just focusing on small, precise documents or snippets of documents that can be shared among multiple documentation sets. So a paragraph or two or three might be translated and might be used in other documents. And we by focusing on that reuse, that paragraph doesn't have to be translated over and over and over again in different documents like sometimes it was in times past.
Other parts of the project, mainly where the parts that produce websites and that produce the software itself, use a platform that is called Sanata to translation. So I think we are with a documentation sub project and this change of tools, we are pointing to use that platform to translation.
That's my current understanding. You know, that can change at any time. But as far as I know, we're going to at least try to use Zenata as our translation platform and get it working with our ASCII doc, based markup. And that should be fairly easy to do. And that's one thing I haven't played with yet that I'm hoping to play with here in the next week or two is kind of work through some of the localization and translation pieces and make sure that they work well in our tool chain. If our tool chain only produces English documentation, then I think we failed a large part of our community that doesn't have English as their native language.
Yes, and that's an exciting part of these new docs because we already have a lot of contributors that work in Sanata. For example, when we are going to do a release, the translation is really fast. We have these translation sprints inside the community that we just put deadline mark mm-hmm. and say, we are going to do this week of translation and you have your word digest or you have just your name put it in that you translate that, and that encouraged a lot of people to work in documentation and to work in translations too. Mm-hmm. So for me, that will be a really, really great way to work with it, to use this platform that we already have and we already work on it, so we don't have to produce another platform or another tool to work in translation that from a platform that we already have.
Yep. So, and I think you've hit on a very interesting point there, which is there are a lot of people who gain a sense of satisfaction because they helped write a document that helped other people, or they helped translate a document into their native language so that other people can help learn that information, can capture that, and it really makes their lives better. So I'm thankful that I've had the opportunity to learn from other people who have helped me learn and grow and stretch over the years, and I kind of want to give some of that back in documentation to help other people learn and grow and have that aha moment where they say, oh, I figured it out. This works. This is great.
Well, that's an awesome news for this platform. Hopefully we can documents translate it really quick because, like I said before, we have a whole of people that work with translation and the translation are really fast. Mm-hmm. What do you expect in the future with the documentation sub-project?
I think the first thing is I think you're going to see more documentation than we've seen in the past because people feel like they don't have to go and either revamp or write a whole new book from scratch with multiple chapters and that sort of thing. It's much more approachable because someone can take a few paragraphs or a section or a page from the wiki and convert that over into this format. I think you're going to see both more varied documentation, a wider area of topics, so to speak, to documented, as well as more focused documentation on what are the things people are actually trying to do. So maybe rather than spending as much time working on a fully complete systems administrator guide, what you're going to see is maybe 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 of the most popular topics of problems people are trying to solve. How do I set up two hard drives to be in a RAID array? Or how do I change the IP address on a network card, or, you know, it's really about this concept of what is somebody trying to do? How do we help them solve that problem?
Yeah, I think because with the previous format, it was really hard to find, for example, just by going to Google and put some words in a Google, in a search engine. Normally, you don't get the official documentation of the Fedora project. We are trying to improve that with this new documentation.
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that we've been focused on as we've been kind of revamping the docs tool chain and some of the tools that we used is making sure that the documents don't just look good to a human, but also appear correctly to a search engine. So things like sitemaps and those sorts of things help search engines to search through the documentation, understand the relationship between different pieces of a document, and show up well in search engine results. So that's something we've been focused on as well.
But for example, a writer need to focus in somewhere to make his document look good to a search engine?
No, that should be automatically handled on the back end with the tooling that we're using, like ASCII Binder and some of the other tooling that we're using.
So the idea is the writer just write the document. He don't need to be aware of anything behind.
That's right. You write the document, do your best to write it up in the ASCII doc markup language, and other people on the docs team will help review that and make sure it's ready for publication. But it's the other tooling behind the scenes that's going to take care of all the search and search engine kind of functionality so that the writer doesn't have to worry about that.
So for this, we have a bunch of teams working on this. I think we have the continuous integration teams. We have the website teams that should help us to make the look and feel of the website mm-hmm. from documentation feel more integrated with the look and feel of the other websites we have.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
That's right. And it was kind of interesting at the FAD. We had people who were working more on the tooling side of things and working on the back-end scripts. We had people who were very much writers and focusing on the writing. We had a designer that was helping us fix up the CSS style sheet to make the pages look better. We had people, like I said, that weren't necessarily there in the FAD, but were working, helping remotely to get the CI kind of things working. We had people who were very interested in helping other writers by building a style guide and starting to help other writers know how to write or what to do or what not to do as they're writing a document. So I think it was a great opportunity to kind of pull the whole core group of people together, whether they were able to attend the FAD in person or not, and just put a renewed focus on our documentation efforts, try some new things, build some new things, and make the world of documentation a better place.
Well, that will be handy. It will be really good to see this documentation project going forward. That's all the time we have for today. Do you have any final thought you want to share with the people?
If you're at all interested in documentation and helping make our documentation, we can always use more help. You don't have to be a professional writer. English doesn't have to be your native language. Just jump in and help out if that sounds interesting to you, and we'll be happy to help mentor you and guide you through the process and help you get your documents out there where other people can read them.
Well, thank you so much, Jared. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fedora podcast. See you in 2 weeks with more interesting interviews.